seated. Good morning. Welcome to church this morning. We're very glad you have joined us this beautiful morning for worship. We're especially glad to see visitors joining us today. And anyone looking to join our church family, please visit with our pastor or one of our elders. Please remember to sign the registry at the end of each pew and pass it down, and to check your bulletin for announcements. We do have some announcements this morning. First of all, we have a birthday this week. Miss Linda will be celebrating this week. Why are you so surprised? If I have to tell you, you're in trouble. Today is our celebration of feast. We will celebrate communion, collect for the food pantry, and have our covered dish luncheon right after the services. This week, the deacons will not meet Wednesday at 5:30. So again, that deacon meeting has been canceled. And please keep Deborah Herta and her family in your prayers. Deborah's father died last week, and funeral services will be tomorrow at 1 o'clock at the All Face Church. No. Excuse me, All Face Funeral Home. Viewing will be from 11 to 1 at the All Face Funeral Home, and burial will be in Pflugerville. So again, please keep Debbie and her family in your prayers. At this time, please stand and join me in the call to worship, which you will find in your bulletins. Arise, shine, your light has come.
Light of Christ Jesus is shining this day.
Arise, shine, your light has come.
The light of Christ Jesus is shining for us.
You are a member of Christ's body and share in Christ's promised salvation.
The light of Christ Jesus is shining in us.
Arise, shine. You are the light of the world.
Christ's light shines through us with justice and peace.
Arise, shine. May our worship be filled with light and love. Let us pray. God of justice and peace, abide in our hearts, that we may be people of your promise. Reign righteousness and hope in the dry places of sin and despair. Shower us with your glory and strength, that we too may be instruments of your grace. Radiant beams of deliverance for the needy, justice for the oppressed, and caring love for the poor. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Let us confess together that we have not always lived as those forgiven, set free, and united in Christ. Mighty God, too often we want what is yours, your glory and your power, for ourselves and for our loved ones. Humble us, we pray. Help us remember a dirty stable and a poor couple caring for their firstborn child. Shine in our lives with your grace and righteousness, that we may arise as shining beacons in a world of dark with violence and oppression. Rise within us, that we may grow into your likeness and shine with the glory of love and justice. In the name and hope of the Christ child, we pray. Amen. Arise, shine, dear friends, your light has come. The glory of God has risen upon you. As Christ rises within us, we shine in darkness, for grace is ours to receive and give. I declare to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Thanks be to God.
Prepare to hear our scripture readings this morning. Please join me in a prayer for illumination. Creator God, we glory in the gift of your word. May we love and trust you enough today that we may open ourselves to hear your words as they are written on our hearts through scripture, word, and song. Amen. Our first reading this morning is from the book of Ephesians, Chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. He destined us in love to be his sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. For he made known to us in all the wisdom and insight the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him, according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to the will, counsel of his will, we who first hoped in Christ have been destined and appointed to live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, who have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, which is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord. Our next hymn is number 695, We As We Gather at Your Table.
Thank you.
may be seated.
When Susan prepared the bulletins for this week, I was still in process mode and so didn't have a sermon title. And I've called this morning's sermon, Seeing God. So, here we are, January 2nd, 2011. And some of us have already obliterated every trace of the recent holidays, ready for a return to whatever passes for normal at our house. The tree gone, the decorations back in storage, the gifts neatly tucked away or exchanged. Some of us are still in Christmastide, which, after all, doesn't officially end until January the 6th. Our decorations and our lights are still up and shining, and we're squeezing every minute of festivity from the season that we can. And some of us are in between. The lights are off, but the decorations have made it as far as the boxes, and the tree's still standing. The refrigerator's still full of leftovers. And that interesting gift that Aunt Martha gave us, it sits in the corner, waiting to find its own special place in our lives. Whenever we decide the season is over, the calendar insists that a new year has begun, not the church calendar, which tells us the new year begins 5 weeks ago. But the calendars that we usually have says, new year. I had my computer on at midnight the other night, and sure enough, click, January 1st, 2011. As soon as it was time. Well, what's new about it? David asked when I cheerfully proclaimed it yesterday morning. Just like always, Saturday morning followed Friday night. Nothing new about that. Nothing new about how we felt or what we did. As I got to thinking about it, I realized that back when we all depended on that calendar hanging on the wall in the kitchen, you know, the one from the hardware store or the funeral home or the drugstore, the interesting picture on every month. Well, back when those were important to us, when we needed them or we had the ones on our desk to tell us what day it was, we at least had one symbolic act to celebrate the new year. We took down the old depleted calendar and hung up a brand spanking new one. Out with the old, and with a new. And it was actually a physical act that often gave us a little spark of hope. All those clean pages, the potential of a fresh start, where we could put the mistakes and the disappointments of the past behind us again. And I don't think I ever really linked Christmas and New Year's together in any way other than their proximity to one another. Christmas was how the year ended. It was about church, about celebrating Jesus' birth. And New Year's was how a year began and was about, well, me, concentrating and celebrating a potential new start. Do-overs. And yet, Jesus' birth began the greatest do-over ever. It, with his life and death and resurrection, changed everything for human beings. The church realized this when it divided history into what is now the politically incorrect before Christ and Anno Domini, or the year of the Lord. Jesus, the Word, John writes, came into the world. Now, you've heard before, the Greek word for word used in John is logos, L-O-G-O-S, and it loses a lot in the translation. The enfleshment of ultimate reason, or the organizing principle of all creation, some sort of description of God's own self, is really closer to what John wanted to convey. This notion of word that came out of God's mouth and somehow took on life of its own in the very speaking, which is why I think in Genesis we get, "And God said, let there be light." The Word was with God, and the Word was God. That is what, who came to people who should have recognized him. And yet, John tells us, they didn't. Now, we tend to gloss over that part a lot. And we need to stop and pay attention to it. The people who should have recognized God when they saw Jesus didn't. The people who had been looking for him all their lives missed it. And frankly, when I think about that, it makes me nervous. I hope it makes you a little nervous too. Because it seems to me that it is a significant warning to Christians. Are there times when we should recognize God at work in our world, and we don't? Are there times when we should recognize the call to share God's love and grace with another, and we don't? Are there times when we desperately look for God and can find no trace of him? The answer is yes, we know that. And yet, John offers us not condemnation for our lack of insight, but grace. Because he goes on and reminds us no one can see God. No one ever has. No one has ever seen God. And human beings just don't do all that well with any unseen presence, particularly those that have a direct effect on us. because we will do everything in our power to flush it out of hiding, to capture it, to begin to know it. Can't quite put our hands on it? Well, there's bound to be a way. There was a special on television this last week about the brain and them trying to map how the brain makes moral decisions. Inquiring minds want to know. We want to be able to put it in a box and put a nice label on it and say, aha, that's what it is. And here's God, who is very important in our lives, and yet we can't find a label to slap on it. Although we don't let that stop us. Because we have a tendency that if the genuine thing is not readily apprehended, we will construct our own notion of it. Just like in prior times, before science got to a certain point, they made things up about why things were the way they were. The creation myths, all the other myths that come down about things through all of the different cultures, is an attempt to explain the inexplicable. And some of these things we can figure out. Yes, we know that the wind blows because of the pressure gradients and an attempt in the atmosphere to equalize those. And that the tighter the distance, the tighter the pressure gradient change is, the harder the wind blows. So we know why the wind blows. But we still don't have a good picture of God. And we do that with God. Everybody has a picture of God. Even the people who have decided there is no God have a picture of the God they don't believe in. I know what this God I don't believe in looks like. That's why I don't believe in it. Little children, you give them paper, you give them a Crayola, you say draw God, they will come up with something. They have very concrete ideas about God. Usually looks like a favorite grandfather. But just like in Jesus' time, our ideas and our notions of what God is like are flawed. Which is one of the reasons that in the Reformed tradition we insist that we are Reformed and always needing to be Reformed. Always new insight, always new ways of learning about God. And to suggest that we've got God locked up and put in a box is to make a terrible mistake. And usually these flawed notions show up when life gets difficult for us. That's when our notion of God makes it so hard to make sense of our lives or to provide the comfort or meaning we so desperately need. When a loved one falls ill or dies, when an important relationship ends, when we lose a job or have our home life fall apart, many of us wonder, where is God in the middle of all this? Why didn't God do something about X, Y, or Z? We feel God's distance or even absence keenly. And that picture that we had constructed of God begins to get a little shaky. And we wonder, what if God isn't just a kindly grandfather, a celestial Santa Claus? What if God doesn't even care or even knows that we exist? When God doesn't do what we expect God to do, what then? But what then is that we let go of our misconceptions? And that's hard to do. but to let go and step out in faith and let God open our eyes to reality. Because to those who believe, power is given to see. Like the wise men. Because as you all know, even though we include them in our nativity story, the best guess is that it took them at least a year, maybe two, to actually begin their journey and to find the young child. Which is why the Feast of Epiphany, which can be on either Sunday, either Sunday on the side of January the 6th, or on the 6th itself, celebrated after Christmas. We separate those two things. We know that there's some distance there. And in classical Greek, the word epiphany was used to describe an appearance or manifestation, particularly of a deity. But current usage also includes a sudden intuitive perception or insight into the reality or essential meaning of something. Just one of those aha moments. And the interesting thing about it is that it is usually initiated by some simple, plain, or commonplace occurrence or experience. The wise men didn't know exactly what they were looking for, but that didn't stop them from seeking until they found it. Because God tells us, John tells us, God became flesh. And the word that John uses for dwelt among us is beautiful because it means spread his tent. Literally, made his home among us. Not dropped by for a quick visit, but came to dwell in that place. And I suspect that all who saw Jesus knew there was something different about him, even if they refused to believe. John, if you read the end of the Gospel of John, he tells us that he wrote the book for the particular purpose that all who read it might believe, might somehow experience their own epiphany, might in a journey toward understanding come to some place where they realize God is here. I've seen something different, and it changes my life. John was so determined that what he wrote might help us to believe that he uses that verb 98 times, believe, in his gospel. Right there at the end. I could have written more, he tells us, but this was written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, we may have life in his name. Epiphany. Seeing God at work in the commonplace everydayness of the world and in our lives, and somehow knowing. Most of us have experienced it at some time or another in our lives. And those are blessed, powerful moments. But beloved of God, that still leaves a question. And the question is this: so what? What difference does it make? because it needs to make a difference. It needs to change our lives. If God has revealed God's purpose to us, if we somehow have seen God because of Jesus' life and death and resurrection, what are we to do about it? It's the beginning of a new year. And I am praying that it is the beginning of a new year. That through us, God will do new things in our lives and in the life of this church. Now, you might possibly have made some New Year's resolutions. Perhaps even decided to try to get further into 2011 before you give up on the ever-present ones. The ones that you go, pull this one out and move it from 2010 to 2011. I had some that made that trip for about 5 or 6 years before I finally said, you know, I need to do something about this or get it off the list. But do any of those resolutions have anything to do with your life as a beloved child of God? We know what most of them are. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to start exercising. I'm going to eat better. I'm going to call my friends or my mom or my siblings more often than I do. I'm going to all of these things. How many of them have to do with our lives as children of God? Or do we also tend to separate the incarnation from the rest of your real life? I think I've told some of you this story. When we were in Irving, the Christmas just before my older grandson turned 2, we took him to the Christmas Eve service, and there was a baby in a manger, and I took him up so he could see what it was. And there was the baby Jesus, and his mother had told him all about Christmas and what we did. And come late January, he wanted to sing Christmas songs again. And his mom said, well, we will, but you remember about Christmas, don't you? It's baby Jesus' birthday, but baby Jesus didn't stay a baby. And she says, remember the story? And he goes, nods his head, yes. And she says, and do you remember where baby Jesus is now? And his face lit up, and he said, he's at Papa Dave's church. He knew exactly where the baby Jesus was. But the thing about it was, by that time, baby Jesus was back in the basement. Tucked away, ready to be brought out again in another year. How many times do we do that in our lives? We let Christmas come and we experience the glory of it and the wonderful senses and the feelings that we have. And then we tuck baby Jesus away and put him back with all the other decorations and we'll get him out some other time. Is there really anything new about this year? Or will it quickly settle back into the same old as we leave the manger and go back to our comfortable lives? Incarnation gives us a glimpse of God who has chosen to pitch his tent among us. God has not gone away, even when we cannot sense the divine presence. And we don't need to leave the tree up or the nativity scene out. But we do need to let loose of our private notions about God. And we can do that by praying, by joining in worship. We can come to this table that's set before us this morning. Table, once again we can receive insight into the reality or essential meaning of God through nothing more than a simple, homely, commonplace occurrence. Bread and wine, broken and poured out, made holy by the work of the Spirit in our lives, even as we ourselves are made holy by that same Spirit. And as you share this morning in communion, I invite you to consider the possibility of new beginnings, of opening your life up to God's work in and through you, of choosing to consider what God is calling you to in 2011. There's really no way to know if you don't begin. But what we do know is that he who has begun a good work in you will continue to complete it. And for that, we can say thanks be to God. Let us stand and say what we believe using the ecumenical version of the Nicene Creed found on page 15 of the Blue Hymnal. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated.
Overwhelmed with joy, the sages of old offered their gifts to Christ. May we share our gifts and offerings with the same joy and humility as those wise sages did long ago. Let us return to God our tithes and our offerings. gifts, glorious God, as if they were those same precious gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, first offered to your child, Christ Jesus. Shine through these gifts, that they may become the lights of hope and joy in a world dark with despair and sorrow. Shine through us, that we may be beacons of justice and love in all that we say and in all that we do. Amen. You may be seated.
Brothers and sisters, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. Scripture tells us that they shall come from east and west and from north and south and sit at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table, and our Savior invites all who trust him to share the feast which he has prepared. With thanksgiving, let us offer God our grateful praise. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is truly right. And our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, creator and ruler of the universe. In your wisdom, you made all things and sustained them by your power. You formed us in your image, setting us in this world to love and to serve you and to live in peace with your whole creation. When we rebelled against you, refusing to trust and obey you, you did not reject us, but still claimed us as your own. You sent prophets to call us back to your way. And then, in the fullness of time, out of your great love for the world, you sent your only Son to be one of us, to dwell with us, to redeem us, and heal our brokenness. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with choirs of angels, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all the faithful of every time and place. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, and upon these your gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Send us out in the power of the Spirit to live for others as Christ lived for us, announcing his death for the sins of the world and telling his resurrection to all people and nations. By your Spirit, draw us together into one body and join us to Christ our Lord, that we may remain his glad and faithful people until we feast with him in glory. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, forever and ever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray together the prayer our Lord taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. In Jesus, born of Mary, your word became flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth. He lived as one of us, knowing joy and sorrow. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, opened blind eyes, broke bread with outcasts and sinners, and and proclaim the good news of your kingdom to the poor and needy. Dying on the cross, he gave himself for the life of the world. Rising from the grave, he won for us victory over death. Seated at your right hand, he leads us to eternal life. We praise you that Christ now reigns with you in glory and will come again to make all things new. Remembering your gracious acts in Christ Jesus, we take from your creation this bread and this wine and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a holy and living sacrifice dedicated to your service. We give you thanks that on the night before he died, Jesus took the bread, and after giving thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Ministering to you in his name, I give you this bread. Same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Ministering to you in his name, I give you this cup. Let us pray. Loving God, you graciously feed us who have received these holy mysteries with the bread of life and the cup of eternal salvation. May we who have received this sacrament be strengthened in your service. We who have sung your praises tell of your glory and truth. We who have seen the greatness of your love see you at last face to face in your kingdom. For you have made us your own people by the death and resurrection of your Son, our Lord, and by the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn number 231, Arise, Your Light Is Come.